some slaughters in American history? He hated the sight of blood. And how about Teddy Roosevelt, whose progressive politics brought him into conflict with some of the nation's richest robber barons? He loved the sight of blood. Not that we shouldn't continue to revere these gentlemen for their accomplishments or thank them for their devotion. After all, they have one of the hardest jobs in the world. But through more than two centuries of war, legislation, and diplomacy, this country's highest leaders have displayed the consistent ability to remind us that they're not only presidents, but also human beings. Flawed, neurotic, hapless, bizarre, frightened, and sometimes depraved. And thank goodness, because if they weren't, this would have to be a book about Hollywood celebs or corporate tycoons. And who wants another one of those? 1. George Washington. February 22, 1732 through December 14, 1799. Astrological sign, Pisces. Term of presidency, 1789 through 1797. Party, not applicable, first term. Federalist, second term. Age upon taking office, 57. Vice president, John Adams. Ran against, John Adams. John Jay, first term. John Adams, George Clinton, second term. Height, 6'2". Nicknames, Father of Our Country, the Old Fox. Soundbite. My movements to the chair of government will be accompanied by feelings not unlike those of a culprit who is going to the place of his execution. George Washington's salary was around $1 million in today's money, and he indulged in such luxuries as leopard skin robes for all of his horses. Talk about a warm welcome. When General George Washington visited New York City at the end of the Revolutionary War, one local newspaper cheered, "He comes, 'tis mighty Washington, words fail to tell all he has done." These sentiments were shared by virtually every American. Having defeated the mightiest nation on earth, with a healthy dose of French help, the tall, stately Virginian had achieved the stature of a demigod in American eyes. It's no wonder he became the fledgling nation's first chief executive. In fact, the office was created by the founding fathers with old George in mind. Washington was a minor Virginia aristocrat, born of humble means, whose career in surveying, land speculation, and militia service blossomed into immortality. Over the course of the American Revolution, he managed to avoid losing an army of underfed, underpaid, and often underwhelming rebels to the fierce predation of the British Empire, and went on to assume the role of patriarch to an embryonic country. Above all, he resisted the impulse to become king over a people willing to make him one. No small feat, that. As president, he established many of the customs we take for granted today. The inaugural address was his idea, although the actual speech was written primarily by James Madison. He also liked to be called Mr. President, which, when you consider that the Senate wanted to call him His Highness the President of the United States of America and the Protector of their Liberties, shows good judgment indeed. During his two terms, he put down a very serious insurrection, the Whiskey Rebellion, and, by acting as referee in their many heated disputes, prevented Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton from tearing each other to pieces. Of course, it's stuff like this that gets your face on a quarter, but there's another side of the coin. The father of our country had just as many flaws as any other dysfunctional dad. Here are some of the highlights. Dreams of Weems. Chopping down the cherry tree. I cannot tell a lie. Throwing a dollar across the Rappahannock River. These are the myths that come to mind when we think about George Washington, and they've been standard fare in textbooks for years. But why? Where did they come from? Blame it all on Mason Locke Weems, a parson who, almost immediately,